The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Influence. I'm Michelle Martin, speaking today with Rocky Scopelletti. In 2017, the word youthquake was named Word of the Year by Oxford Dictionaries. What does youthquake refer to? It's been defined as a significant cultural, political, or social change arising from the action or influence of young people. Rocky Scopelletti is the author of Youthquake 4.0, the first published book in the world that analyzes the confluence of demographic change associated with millennials and the emerging technological breakthroughs associated with the fourth industrial revolution. He joins us live, author of Youthquake 4.0, A Whole Generation and the New Industrial Revolution. Welcome, Rocky Scopelletti.
Hi, Michelle, and great to be part of the program.
Terrific talking to you. So many find the millennials a mystifying generation. Now, what is the central question about the future and millennials does this book aim to answer?
Well, the central question that the book tackles is how do we increase our capacity to adapt to a world of accelerated change? And I think we all feel this, that the pace of change is increasing exponentially. And with the fourth industrial revolution, which is characterized by a whole new generation of emerging technologies, such as artificial intelligence, such as data and analytics, robotics, nanotechnologies, biotechnologies, and the like, the pace of change is just going to accelerate. And so the whole point of the book that it deals with is that we've got this wonderful generation, this wonderful millennial generation, the 18 to 34-year-olds, who are the first generation who have grown up digitally. And so part of the opportunity of us transforming and adapting to a world of accelerated change has to be how we leverage our youth. We have a wonderfully digitally enabled global community in this millennial generation. And so the book explains how we can optimize the way with which we think about advancing ourselves technologically in this new fourth industrial revolution, using millennials as a primary workforce to do that.
So why is it economically important to understand this particular generation?
Well, we have to understand that millennials are now the largest demographic group in the global population. They make up approximately 2 billion people on the planet. And so their proportionate representation as consumers, employees, investors, and policymakers is only going to increase from this point on. And so, you know, they make up 1 in 3 in the workforce. By 2020, they'll be 1 in 2 in the workforce. By 2025, they'll be 2 in 3 in the workforce. So the primary production of income is going to come from this demographic. And through the course of time, Michelle, they'll become the custodians of the world's capital. By 2030, it's predicted that $30 trillion will be transferred intergenerationally from baby boomer demographic onto the millennial generation. And so they will become the future custodians of the world's wealth. And so we need to think thoughtfully about how the future profitability of our organizations is going to depend on our capacity to attract millennials, engage millennials, and retain them equally as our workforces. We've got to think about how millennials are going to become attractive to our organizations as a workforce.
That's a lot of money in the hands of this group. Some commentators say this is a consumer group unlike any other in history. Tell us, how are fintechs or the financial industry, how do you see the financial industry already helping this particular group of millennials spend their money?
Well, I mean, fintech is a fantastic example of showing what can happen with a demographic who has grown up in a mobile-first world. To millennials, their mobile devices, their smartphones, are their gateway to the way they live their lives. And so fintechs have developed a whole range of new applications and tools that help millennials save, spend, borrow and invest. And if we just look up into Asia, for example, and look at the spectacular success of what's happened with Tencent, WeChat, when we look at Ant Financial, this is largely fueled by the millennial populations throughout Asia. In China, for example, the millennials make up approximately 400 million people. And so this is the demographic that is saying, when it comes to my financial affairs, when it comes to my saving, spending, borrowing, investing, I want it to be mobile first, and I want tools and services that help me in my day-to-day life.
We're reading Youthquake 4.0 and futurologist Rocky Scopoletti, who is the author of the book, joins us live right now. Rocky, you say in Singapore, millennials account for 1.2 million or 22% of the total population. What do you think Singapore needs to understand about what millennials expect from the environments that they live in?
Well, millennials, through the course of time, will become the primary workforces, the primary customers that create profits for enterprises throughout Singapore and indeed the rest of the world. And millennials have grown up in a completely different world to the one that that myself and many others have grown up in. They've grown up in a world accustomed to having personalization through mobile devices that are their gateway to their world. They are socially connected to communities at a global basis and a global level. This is the first digitally grown-up generation that is ready and equipped to help organizations transform and adapt into the fourth industrial revolution. And the fourth industrial revolution will come upon enterprises with speed, scale, and impact like no other industrial revolution before in the past. And so as leaders, as future leaders, millennials offer us the capacity to adapt to this world of accelerated change. And we should embrace all of the ideas that this demographic has to offer in terms of the way we think about our businesses and about our social and economic and technological lifestyles.
And how is this generation coping with accelerated change or transformation? You've said that it's important to understand the quarter life crisis in relation to the millennial generation. Why is that?
Well, if you think about longevity, Michelle, our expected life expectancy has been increasing by 2 years each decade linearly since 1870. What does that really mean? Well, it just means if you're a 20-year-old Singaporean today, you've got a 1 in 2 chance of living to 100 years. And so this notion that success is based upon a model of become educated, you work, and then you retire is unlikely to be effective for a millennial who has a 1 in 2 chance of living to 100 years. And so the quarter life crisis is really about the dilemma of the realization that that they are most likely going to go through a multi-stage adaption in their lives. They'll most likely have, according to the demographers, 7 career changes throughout their working life. They are unlikely to retire at the same ages that perhaps people are retiring today. And so we've got to rethink our whole approach to the way with which people adapt in terms of skills. It's unlikely, for example, that the career that you graduate in university today will see you through for the next 60 or 70 years, because in the fourth industrial revolution, we can't predict what new roles, what new industries are going to emerge and which industries will fade away. Accounting is a great example. With the advancement of technology, we are unlikely to require the same level of accountancy skills doing the same kinds of tasks when a lot of those can be automated through technologies like artificial intelligence.
They're highly educated, they're media saturated, they're ethnically diverse. What do you think corporations really need to understand about getting the most out or leveraging the millennial generation?
Well, this generation thinks very differently about very difficult issues that enterprises are faced with today. Let's talk about one such as diversity. This is the most diverse generation ever. And what I mean by that is not only ethnically diverse, but by gender as well as through sexuality as well. In Australia, for example, we had the gay marriage debate, and it was the rise of millennials' participation in that plebiscite that really gave that election result such a large uplift. And so why this is important is because there are still significant imbalances, inequalities in many organisations throughout the world when it comes to diversity. We still are not seeing the proportionate representation of females, for example, in boards. We are still not seeing them in senior executive positions, and we are still not seeing women appropriately represented throughout workforces. And this imbalance now, as I highlight in the book, Michelle, is becoming a performance issue, because what's now showing is that organisations with highly effective diversity policies are outperforming their competitors and peers across all industry sectors. And so diversity, for example, is one area where this demographic will absolutely not tolerate yesterday's policies, because that is not the world that they've become accustomed to.
It's a great investigation into the force and the potential for change that this particular generation brings to the world. Great talking to you. Thank you so much for being here, Rocky. That's Rocky Scopoletti, and the title of his book is Youthquake 4.0, The Survival Guide for Individuals and Leaders, a Whole Generation in the New Industrial Revolution.